Welcome to the Hometown Bluegrass Show, the heart and soul of bluegrass music, brought to you straight from Western Kentucky. Join your hosts, Tim Batts, a passionate promoter of bluegrass and live music, and Josh Williams, three-time IBMA Guitar Player of the Year and a true bluegrass legend. They talk about the latest bluegrass news, interview your favorite artists, and tell lighthearted stories that celebrate the bluegrass tradition. Josh even gives bluegrass music tips in every episode. So grab your banjo, pick up your guitar, and let's have some fun together. This is the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
And here we are, the Hometown Bluegrass Show, episode 54 coming 54. Your way. Yeah, man.
Big old 5-4.
I can't hardly fade out the song, man. I just like it.
You know, I heard it on the radio today.
You did?
I sure did.
That's funny. Oh, yeah. Man, good old Mordecai.
It's just WCCK out there in Calvert City.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they played it. They played that, and then later on in the day, they played Prodigal Son.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Get a little hometown airplay there.
Yeah, man, I love that.
That's awesome. Well, cool, man. Well, it's... You know, the intro says three-time IBMA Guitar Player of the Year. We know, like, 17-time Spigma, but Banjo Player of the Year hasn't yet to been recorded yet. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah. You haven't made that yet.
No, I haven't.
Even though you played the banjo at the Grand Ole Opry the other night.
I'll tell you what, man. You talk about pressure.
How was that?
You haven't played the banjo in a long time, and the time you are going to do it, it's on the Grand Ole Opry.
With Rhonda Vincent, no doubt. That's crazy.
So. Well, there was only about 8 million people listening.
Yeah. Is that all?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Obviously, you go do that a lot. And but when you told me last week you were going to play the banjo, I was like, oh, well, that's cool. Do you know? I know you know how to play it, but do you remember how to play it? So how much rehearsing did you really have to do? Come on, you can tell me.
I did a little bit. I really did.
What's like, a little bit? Like an hour?
Actually, I didn't get to until I got there, but I got there early, and I was able to warm myself up and pick a little bit. And
well, that's cool.
So, yeah, it was good. We ran through a couple of those things and a few songs that we wasn't going to do, you know, just for fun.
Yeah. And so you played stuff that you'd never really played before. I mean, you know, we were talking before we went on air, you played the Dolly Parton song, 9 to 5.
Yes.
So I was like... Probably never played that song before.
Nope. Not on the banjo.
Oh, man. Well, that's cool, man. So was it a typical night where full Opry show where you guys just did like three songs and then came back and did three songs or type thing? Or did you have a full set?
No, we did the full three songs. You know, I mean, we just did the one appearance.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Well, yeah, it was fun. And then got to go back on Saturday, play again.
Oh, cool.
And
banjo again?
No, this one was guitar. Oh, cool. We had Scott Vestal on banjo.
Oh, he's pretty good banjo player.
pretty fair.
What's that song on your modern day man album that just kills me?
Oh, you're thinking of
oh my gosh.
Lonesome Lesson Learned.
Oh, my Lord. I got to find that here. Yeah, it's like... this banjo in this song is like
a machine gun.
The crap. Yeah. I got to play a little bit of this here for everybody.
Well, it's right from the kick.
That's crazy, man.
Skip it up to where the banjo comes in. It'll be right here's Sam Bush on the mandolin, which is pretty awesome. Oh, you skipped it.
Oh, I did?
No.
No, hold it's on. Coming up.
Yeah. That's John Cowan singing tenor.
That's Sam Bush?
Sam Bush. Sammy Bush.
You know, I never knew that was John Cowan singing tenor. Oh, my gosh. That's killer.
It was fun. That was a fun session.
Oh, no doubt, man.
Banjo.
Who's that on the guitar? Oh my gosh, I love it. First time I ever heard that years ago, I was like, I literally was driving down the road and my mouth was just hanging open.
Man, we were cracking up.
Because I asked
up.
Jason McKendry, because like at the next time I saw him, I said, was that you? Because I know he played banjo on some of these songs. Yeah. I said, was that you on there? He goes, God, no. He said, that was God. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was crazy, man. But when he was doing that, we were kind of cracking up. Steve Chandler and I were there, you know, while he was laying some of this stuff down, and on that that part, Steve started going like a machine, like he was shooting a machine gun.
That's hilarious. Oh man. Well, I'm excited about our guest tonight. We've got Banjo Ben Clark. It's going to be our guest tonight. He just texted me and said he's real excited. So excited to give him a call, and I think he's wanting to know how long we're going to drill him for. So, oh man, I should tell him like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, at least.
But anyway, I'm excited about that, and it's a good podcast. We got a lot of great stuff coming up. Now we've kind of hit the ground running again, and going back to kind of a weekly thing, and got lots of great artists lined up coming your way. We got Vicky Vaughn coming up next week, and Kevin Denny coming up, and just lots of cool things. So
one thing I do want to mention, one thing that happened was we lost a great fella this past week. Randy Jones played mandolin.
I saw that, yeah.
With the Lonesome River
Band.
Yes. One of their best mandolin players and singers.
And such an amazing guy. So nice.
Such a sweet man. He was such a good guy. And I had no idea that he was as sick as he was. But I guess he was battling esophageal or whatever they call that.
Oh, really?
Cancer.
I was wondering what happened to him, because he's not that old of a man.
No, he was 54 or something like that.
Wow, that's my age. Gosh.
Let me see.
Well, it's
58. Excuse me. He was 58.
Yeah. Well, definitely send out prayers and thoughts to his family. And
absolutely.
I don't know his family, but... and I really didn't even know him. I'm sure you did, but I just had only just seen him many times on stage with Lonesome River Band. But
you know, I didn't get to know him as well because, you know, I was with Rhonda at that point, and we just focused on what we're doing, and a lot of times we're in and out, you know.
Right.
And, but yeah, I didn't get to know him like I wish I'd had, because the times that I was around him, he was just very nice, funny, you know, just a super cool guy.
Yeah, he had a real calm demeanor, like he was just pretty laid back, you know.
Yeah,
kind of like Sammy, you know, this chilled. But our old buddy Colton got his debut with Authentic Unlimited over the weekend, and so,
oh yes,
it was in, you know, Big Lick, North Carolina, and my brother-in-law and sister went, and so they didn't, I mean, they really didn't realize it was going to be his debut. They were going anyway, but they were excited to be there for his first show and bring him a little Western Kentucky love, even though they live in South Carolina. But
how'd it go?
Oh, it went great. They just said he killed it. They sent me some videos of it. And other than they said it was extremely cold, like you could see their breath as they sang, and the people were sitting around in blankets and jackets, and they went to Walmart and bought Colton some hand warmers and gave to him because it was that cold. As a matter of fact, they left a little early because they went ahead and left Saturday night after Authentic Unlimited's first set. They didn't even stay around the second because it was so cold. But it is April in the mountains, so you know.
Well,
but
you never know, man. I mean, it could be 70 degrees during the day and then 30 at night.
Right, exactly, you know? Yeah, I'm sure you dealt with that, but they,
he
said Sammy, they were talking to Sammy Sheeler afterwards, and he's like, he said, man, I know my fingers are going to keep working. He said, I was so cold. Oh, man, but anyway.
Been there, done that, and having them metal finger picks on them does not help.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because them things get cold
fast. No doubt. Other prayer we need to remember, Steve Dilling. He's battling with some health issues, and they talked to Skip while they were there, and so we need to keep old Steve in our prayers and pray that he gets better soon. He gets back on the road. He wasn't able to be there, so. But it is festival season. It's almost here, and So you guys be sure and get out and see some live music, because if you like bluegrass music and you've never really seen it live, then you will love bluegrass music. So once you see it live, it'll get all up in you. So
just need to do it. It will. It'll all get up in you.
Get all up in you. You know, some people got bluegrass on them, but you got to get bluegrass in you, you know. So the difference.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So get out and see these bands and buy their CDs and their shirts and stuff and help support live bluegrass music, because that's what it's all about. So, but anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and excited about talking to Banjo being coming up here real soon and see what he's up to. And when we come back, we have a request that was sent into our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got song you want Josh to sing or talk about or learn how to play or whatever, just send it in to our Hometown Bluegrass Show Facebook page. So Miss Gloria Jackson did that and sent in a request. So we're going to see if Josh can do that here in just a minute.
Gloria Jackson, is that who you said?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
Very cool. I know her.
I assumed you did.
I know her well.
But anyway, so we'll be back right after this.
The Lake House Inn at Sled Creek has undergone complete renovation in 2023. Our outdoor space is unlike any other at Kentucky Lake. With two in-ground pools, 18 rooms, and 4 cabins, we're just a stone's throw away from Kentucky Dam. If you're looking to make memories with your family, this nostalgic inn is for you. Welcome to your lake house, where modern meets rustic and becomes home. Reserve online at lakehouseinn.com.
Custom Automotive in Calvert City, Kentucky has been a family-operated business for over 50 years. When you call Custom Automotive, you'll talk to an experienced tire and wheel expert. They install wheels and tires on thousands of vehicles every year in addition to their online sales. Stop by and thank them for supporting Bluegrass Music. Custom Automotive, Highway 62, Calvert City, Kentucky, 270-395-7611. Or visit them online at customautoonline.com.
Hey, this is Josh Williams for Page Capos. The Page Capo is lightweight, durable, and quickly attaches and allows you to change frets with ease. With controlled tension capabilities, Page Capo always stays in tune. But don't just take my word for it. Page Capos is also used by folks like Vince Gill, Ron Block, Tim O'Brien, Cody Kilby, Tommy Emmanuel, and James Taylor. So don't trust just any capo. Use what the pros use. Listen to the Hometown Bluegrass Show podcast for your chance to win a Page Capo on every episode. Do what I do and trust Page Capos. Order online at pagecapo.com.
All right. Thank you so much to Page Capos and all our great sponsors. We do give away a free Page Capo in every episode. Thanks so much to Brian and Lisa Page for supporting the Hometown Bluegrass Show. And
I enjoyed talking with him last week.
That was a lot of fun. He's posted that episode a couple of times on their Facebook page. And he said he was really enjoyed it. So that was a lot of fun to talk to them. We had, I forgot the guy's name. But anyway, last week we asked how many capos they make in a year was the trivia question. And had a guy won that, and
was it a guy from Georgia?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Joseph Wilburn.
That was it. Yes, yes, yes. Yep.
He sent me a text and said, "Hey man, I finally won."
He said, "I've been listening all this time, he never won nothing." And matter of fact, he won the guitar pick too. He won the McEwen guitar pick because he was the first one to answer both questions. So that's the first time that's ever happened. So all you got to do to win cool stuff is just listen to us yapping about bluegrass music. I mean, it's that simple. So
that's right.
But thanks to Paige Capo and McEwen guitar picks and Banjo Ben Clark, Custom Automotive, Puckett's Jewelry, and Paducah Insurance. We've got some great sponsors that help us keep this going, and we do thank them very much. So, Miss Gloria Jackson, your friend, how do you know her? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember well. When I was about 10 years old or so, I played up in Louisville at a festival that was there for a little while, just outside of Louisville, at Otter Creek Park, and I met her and her husband, Keith, who was a picker and a singer and all that. And anyway, we became friends, and she became like a second mother to me while I was, you know, when we was out there and doing stuff. And but anyway, Keith was a great man. He passed away last year before. But he was a great guy, and I miss him.
Yeah. Well, she hopped on our Facebook page and said, "Would you please ask Josh to sing Highway 40 Blues?" So you're going to channel your inner Ricky Skaggs, and
I'm going to try to.
I don't know if you can still sing as high as Ricky anymore. I don't. Like you used to.
Ricky don't sing as high as he used to. Well, either,
that's true. So. That is true.
Although he's got some years on me,
he's probably dropped it down a key or two on that.
I love Ricky.
Yeah.
Ricky's an amazing person. I'm a big fan, but also I consider him a great friend because he's the type of guy that will, if you're struggling, he'll message you just to let you know that he's praying for you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, but anyway.
So what key are you doing this in?
This is in the key of L.
Key of L, gotcha. Yes. All right.
This is E, actually.
Locked and loaded.
I'll try it. We'll see what happens. These Highway 40 blues, I've walked holes in both my shoes, counting the days since I've been gone, and I'd love to see the lights of home. Wasted time and money too, squandered youth in search of truth, but in the end I had to lose. Lord above, I paid my dues. Got the Highway 40 blues, the highway called when I was young, told me lies of things to come. Fame and fortune lies ahead, what the billboard lights have said. Shattered dreams, my mind is numb, my money's gone, stick out my thumb. My eyes are filled with bitter tears. Lord, I ain't been home in years. Got the Highway 40 blues. Traveled all around like a rolling stone from town to town. I met pretty girls, I have to say, but none of them could make me stay. I played the music halls and bars, had fancy clothes and big fine cars. Things a country boy can't use. Dixieland, I sure miss you. Got the Highway 40 blues. Forgot the words there for a second. My mind just went, my mind was numb. Well, it went numb on me there for a minute.
That happens to me a lot, so I was afraid I was the only one. So. Well, that's pretty cool, man.
Well, it's hard to play that one by yourself.
Yeah, and, no and doubt.
There's so much going on.
When she sent that in, I thought, you know, that's going to be tough. But
you know, because, I mean, the kickoff, instead of the band is do 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 do. So you've got the you know, and then
yeah,
my favorite is the mandolin break.
Yeah.
Well, that's my favorite part. Something like that. Anyway, fingers don't want to work.
Yeah, that's cool. That is awesome, man.
That was just a great song, man. And you know that he changed the lyrics, too. The if I remember this correctly. Oh, and I have another thing I want to correct from last week. But if I remember this correctly, the way that Larry Cordell had actually written that was, my eyes are filled with bitter tears. Lord, I sure could use a beer. Got the highway 40 blue. Yeah. But Ricky had promised his mom years before that he would never sing about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he changed the lyrics.
Huh.
And he says, Lord, I ain't been home in years or seen home in years or whatever. So it's, my eyes are filled with bitter tears. Lord, I ain't been home in years. Got the highway 40 blues.
Well, I knew he and Cord wrote it, but that's pretty interesting.
That was, I guess that was Cord's first song that he ever wrote.
Oh, really?
That's, if I remember correctly, Cord, if you're listening, maybe you can write in and tell us a little bit about that, because I know there's a story behind this, and because I've heard you tell some of it. But
and you know he's going to write in because he's probably not going to text in. Is that what you're saying?
Whatever.
Send us a letter. Put a stamp on
that's
it and
right.
everything.
That's right. That's right, bud. Hey, I do want to correct something from last week. I had a... when we did the song Rock, Salt, and Nails,
mm-hmm.
I had the writer incorrect.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was Steve Young or whatever his name is, who actually had that recording that we played.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make sure that's his name because that doesn't sound right. But it might be. Very well could be. Anyway, the writer, actually, he was on a naval ship, I think he said, and he was hurting real bad, you know, so he was away from everybody, and he wrote Rock, Salt, and Nails, and he never sang it again. He sang it one time for somebody else to hear it, and he never sang it again.
Huh.
Isn't that odd? But anyway, his name was Utah Phillips.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Well, we got Banjo Ben on the line. We're going to talk to him, see what he's been up to, and figure out what kind of shenanigans we can get into with him. So you guys stay tuned, and we will be right back.
For over 50 years, Puckett's Jewelry in Fenton, Kentucky has been a trusted choice for fine jewelry that will last a lifetime and help you celebrate life's most precious moments. The new owners, Bart and Hannah Lewis, are excited to continue the Puckett's Jewelry legacy in Marshall County and are proud to support bluegrass music. Puckett's Jewelry on the square in Fenton, Kentucky. Visit them online at puckettsjewelry.com.
Looking for expert insurance advice from a team that truly knows Western Kentucky? At Paducah Insurance Agency, we're more than just policies. We're your neighbors, helping you protect what matters most. With locations in Paducah and Benton, Kentucky, we offer home, auto, business, and life insurance with top carriers like Erie Insurance, all at competitive rates. Locally owned and committed to your peace of mind, Jared Morgan and his team are here to help. Call Paducah Insurance Agency today at 855-853-4763 or visit PaducahInsurance.com. Paducah Insurance, coverage you can count on from people you trust.
Howdy friends, I'm Banjo Ben Clark and you're listening to my good buddies Tim Batts and Josh Williams on the Hometown Bluegrass Show. You've tuned in because you like valuable conversation about the world's best music. And if you want more good stuff like that, come on over to my website, BanjoBenClark.com, where you can learn how to play and purchase anything you might need when it comes to bluegrass-related instruments and accessories. My Gold Pick members over there can access hundreds of lessons for banjo, guitar, and mandolin with all kinds of resources to help you move on down the road with your picking skills. And if you're looking to purchase something, the deals can't be beat at Banjo Ben's General Store. All there on the same website, BanjoBenClark.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to the Hometown Bluegrass Show. You just heard from our good buddy, Banjo Ben Clark, and we appreciate his support of the Hometown Bluegrass Show. And if you want to head over to BanjoBenClark.com and just hop on that website, I guarantee there's something on there that you need. And if not, there's something on there that you probably won't. So,
and the Hometown 10 code.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just throw throw everything you need in your cart, and when you get ready to check out, just use the promo code Hometown10, Hometown10, and we'll just take 10% off your order just because we like you and we appreciate you for listening to the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
Yep.
We're going to take it right out of Josh's pay, and he'll just pay the difference.
That's right. So, that's right.
But we are plumb excited to have the man we speak of right now on the phone with us, Banjo Ben. How are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. Man, it's good to be with you all.
Man, we appreciate
you. Thank you for those kind words. I'm happy to be a sponsor of y'all's good work here, and just love what y'all do.
Well, I appreciate you, man. We talk kind about you in every episode. I'm sure you don't hear how kind we are in all of them, but I mean we really toot your horn, man, in every episode. So,
I need as many people doing that as possible.
Don't we all, sir? Well, we appreciate you. I'm so glad we finally connected and got to have you on. I wanted you to be on here and just let people get to know you and your story a little bit and find out what's been going on in your world, man. So what?
I'm honored, Tim.
I know you just got off the tractor, yeah, so you're probably tired, and we appreciate you doing that. But besides doing a little tractor work, what else you been up to?
Man, it's pea planting season around here in East Texas, so. So we're getting peas in the ground, and I lived in Nashville for the last 20 years, but about a year ago or so, I moved back to my family farm in East Texas, and which has been a lot of fun. I'm back and forth to Nashville a little bit, but mainly here, and it's been fun reconnecting with how I grew up and getting back into the farming and the cows and all that good stuff. So that, of course, takes some of my time, but then the rest of it spent, doing what I always did in Nashville, and running the website and creating learning content and trying to peddle goods over at Banjo Ben's General Store, and raising kiddos and just staying busy, but loving it, man. Really, really blessed.
That's awesome, man. Well, so did you grow up as a musician, or how did you get into to bluegrass and banjo and stuff?
Man, it's an interesting question. I was a latecomer, and I did grow up around music. My mom had me on the piano early, and my whole family on my mom's side was way into the classical music scene. And there's a whole kind of lineage of that here in East Texas. But I was not really exposed to bluegrass until I got into high school. I pulled up to a buddy of mine's house, and his dad was out working in his garden. He had some speakers, about 200 foot of speaker cable running, had some speakers set up in his garden, and was playing Whoa Mule Whoa with Raymond Fairchild. And I thought, what in the world is that? And that was kind of my introduction to bluegrass. And there was a little festival that was going on around here. And my parents had been to it before, but it really didn't appeal to me. I was more into rock and roll, and so anyway, I was a latecomer to it and never really thought about playing it until actually I got into college. So I got me a banjo when I was a sophomore in college, and then just fell in love with it, and other things from there, mandolin and dobro and a little bit of fiddle and guitar and such, and then just kind of went headlong into it, and moved to Nashville after I got out of school, pursuing the country music side of things. I knew enough about bluegrass then to know that I was not going to be good enough to get a job to make a living in bluegrass. Man, there's just so many hot pickers. But with my piano background, I thought maybe I could make a living over on the country music side, and mm-hmm. I was able to do that for quite a few years, playing for various country artists. There wasn't a lot of guys in Nashville that could play piano proficiently and play stringed instruments. And so when I moved there in 2004, this was right on the heels of the Oh Brother Where Art Thou mm-hmm. movement that mm-hmm. had happened. And so a lot of your country music was coming back around to having more of an acoustic sound. And so you had Josh Turner and Brad Paisley and others that were putting out singles on the radio with like mandolin solos and, you know, banjo solos. Mm-hmm. And it had been a long time since country music had those kinds of sounds. And so I really landed in time in town there in Nashville at a good time to where they were looking for guys that could cover acoustic instruments. And so having the combination of being able to play piano, but being able to pick up a banjo and pulling that off, you know, that really kept me working mm-hmm. There in Nashville. And it was a lot of fun. The touring life did kind of get old, and I just kept falling more and more in love with bluegrass. It was about, you know, about that time, gosh, I'm trying to remember, Josh, what year it was that I saw you there with Tony. It was at a little theater over by Belmont.
Yeah. The Bell Court.
Yes, man. That just blew my mind. I mean, I was already into it, but that was the first time I saw y'all. And I was just falling in love with Tony. And
I tell you again, something about that show. Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt, but something about that show.
Yeah, please.
You talk about pressure when you're about to get up there and sing, dude, you know, and then you look down in the front row right in front of me was Emmy Lou Harris. And I'm thinking, my gosh, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You were on mandolin on that
yep,
show.
And sure enough.
And man, it you know, that just continued to burn that fire in me, you know, to push into bluegrass more, and always kind of, you know, self-conscious that I'd gotten into it too late, and would I ever catch up, would I ever be able to play this music? And you know, as an adult trying to learn these things. And you know, YouTube was at its infancy back then. We're talking 2006 through 2010. And so I was trying to learn every way that I could, and God bless Tony Rice, but he wasn't the best teacher. You know, the few videos that were out there of Tony teaching weren't extremely helpful for me. You know, he would play something amazing, and whoever was, you know, Happy Trauma or whoever, they're like, man, Tony, that was really good. Can you slow that down? Yeah, I can slow it down. And then he'd play something completely different. Yeah. Completely different. And I knew enough to know that's not what he played the first time. So I thought, man, I'm just going to have to learn this the old fashioned way, you know, just listen. And then I just kind of told myself I'd start a YouTube channel. I thought, you know, if I ever learn any of these licks, cause I wasn't running in those circles. I didn't have any buddies that picked that stuff. So I thought if I ever learn this stuff, I'm going to try to teach other people what I've learned from my perspective, being a latecomer to it, not growing up playing guitar, kind of, you know, being a newcomer into the genre. And so that's what I started doing. I started making little silly, they were silly because I didn't think anybody would watch them, actually, instructional videos, just saying, here's this one lick I learned and this other lick. And people just, they loved it, and started getting more and more requests to teach this and that, which just spurred on my passion to keep diving into the music. And, you know, I wrote songs for a little while in Nashville. I got a publishing deal there at Sony, and saw what a tough way that was going to be to make a living too. I knew it wasn't going to last long, or the odds were very, very slim. And so I just kind of woke up one day with an idea of, man, I wonder if I can do this teaching thing full time and just make content every week. And so I polled my audience. I had a little Facebook page and polled my audience. Hey, would y'all support me if I just poured everything I had into this? And people are like, yeah, I would. And it looked like there's enough people to make it worth my while. And that was around 2012. And that's what I've been doing since.
Wow, that's crazy. Now your banjo band YouTube channel has almost 150,000 subscribers, so that's pretty awesome, man. A funny story about last week, we were talking about Tony, talking about his teaching skills. Josh and I were just talking last week or week before, and he showed me a video. He said, "What's this?" And it Ralph Emery said, so why do you call it flat picking, Tony? And he said, "Well, this is a pick and it's flat."
Yeah. He said, "What is flat pick?" And Tony said, "Well, this here's a flat pick. And I guess the rest is self-explanatory."
So that explains his teaching. That's so funny you said that.
Yeah, and you know, I got to meet a lot of my heroes kind of through the back door. I did get to meet Tony and got to talk to him on the phone at least one time that I remember, and that was just such an honor. And got to meet and get to know J.D. Crowe and so these guys that were my heroes that I'd found, you know, late in life, and actually that's a funny story probably worth telling. I'm sure some of your audience has heard it, but you know, when I started playing banjo, same type of thing, man. I was down here in Texas and I didn't know anybody that played. I mean, the Reno brothers came through and did a show one time, and I talked to Ronnie about this, and he had remembered it. And I thought, wow, bluegrass. So I went and saw that and talked to the guys after the show, and man, how do you play this? How do you play that? They were real kind and gracious. And so I got an old Fender banjo, and I didn't have an instructional book or nothing, but I found some picks. And I was trying to play that thing, and the picks wouldn't stay on my dang fingers. I mean, they kept flying off, you know. I thought, I've got to figure out how to keep these picks on my fingers. I get them tighter and tighter, and they pop off. So I went to this little bluegrass festival, and I said, I'm going to find somebody here that knows how to play and just ask them. You know, I'm a grown man, guys. I'm 20, 21 years old. And I saw this band on the stage, and they were killing it, and the older gentleman playing was doing really well, in my opinion. And I called him backstage. I said, "Sir, can I ask you something?" He says, "Yeah, what is it?" I said, "How do you keep your picks on your fingers when you play?" And he says, "Excuse me?" I said, "No, but look." And I pulled my picks out of my pocket and I put them on. And he says, "Come here, son." And he grabbed my hand. He took my picks and he twisted them around 180 degrees. I had them on completely backwards, you know.
When you see that's the first thing I did too when I put a set of picks on. Most people will do that because that looks like it's going to grab the string.
Yeah. I know it, man. And I looked at him crazy, like, "Are you sure?" You know. And he goes, "Yeah." He says, "Go try that and see what you think." And
that's funny.
And I said, "Man, I've got to remember this guy's name." You know, I said, "What's your name, sir?" And he said, "J.D. Crowe." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Man, I'm going to remember that." I said, you're really nice. I didn't know J.D. from nobody, y'all.
That's like going up to, you know, trying to figure out how to, you know, a nice thing to say. And you go up to a guy and it's Jesus, you know, I mean, that's close to that, you know.
So fast forward.
That's the Jesus of banjo playing.
That was like in 2000. And fast forward 2008 or so, and I'm playing for Taylor Swift is who I'm touring with, and we play this big show out west. Josh has maybe played it, the Stagecoach Festival.
Yeah,
very eclectic festival. They have everybody out there, you know, all kinds of genres. And they had a big hotel, and they put all the artists up in this hotel, which was really neat because there's no telling who you'd see walk through the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out there, and here comes J.D. Crowe in New South walking through the lobby. And I saw him. I thought, there he is. You know, by this time I'd figured it all out, you know, and it wallowed in my shame for about 8 years. And I said, "Man, I've got to say something to him. I've just got to do it." You know, so I stopped him. I said, "Mr. Crowe, I said, you wouldn't remember me." I said, "But about 8 years ago, I saw you in Overton, Texas at a bluegrass festival. I caught you backstage," and his eyes got real big. He says, "You had your picks on backwards." And I said, "You remember?" And he turned around to his band guys. He says, "This guy was a grown man. He had his picks on backwards and came and asked me how to wear his picks." And I thought, and so we had a big laugh, you know, and he says, "What are you doing out here?" And I said, "I'm playing banjo this weekend." And he goes, "It worked." It works. My
guys work. That sounds just like you.
Yeah, with some girl named Taylor Swift.
Yeah, exactly. And I got to play a couple festivals, you know, on the same bill with him. After that, we always had a big laugh about that. But you know, that really, in a nutshell, guys, that's my career. Like those kinds of encounters, I've always backed myself into those situations. Never, you know, the way I look at it, I've never deserved to be there. I just find myself in the craziest places. It's just by the grace of God that I've been able to make a living in this and have some fun and meet some amazing people and have some funny stories, you know, in my memory. So
that is so cool.
So anyway, here I am.
So you, you toured with Taylor Swift. Who else did you tour with in the country world?
Yeah, I guess my first bigger gig, you know, tour bus gig was with American Idol finalist, country singer named Josh Grayson. He had, mm-hmm. he had a few hits over the years.
Yeah. That guy.
Yeah. That dude yeah, could that sing, was, man. That yeah, was yeah. a, yeah, he could sing. He could sing, man. And it's funny, you know, starting with Josh, and no offense to any of his singers, but you know, starting with Josh was one of several that I toured with that whenever I heard their music on the radio, cause I was a country guy, you know, I moved to Nashville wearing Wranglers and with a banjo coming from the farm. I thought, man, I can't wait to get to Nashville and play some, you know, Johnny Cash and, play some good country music. And that's just not the way the town was. It's like all the guys working, you know, in those touring bands, most of them were LA and New York guys, mm-hmm. you know, most of them didn't know Johnny Cash songs. And I was kind of shell shocked at that, you know, and the direction that the music was taking, just getting real poppy on its way to bro country. I just wasn't excited about it. Mm-hmm. There's very few artists that were playing, you know, putting out stuff that I really dug. And so starting with Josh was one of those of several that I heard their song on the radio and looked at my wife as we were driving. And I was like, I don't care what they paid me. I'd never play for this guy. And then a few weeks later, I'm on the bus with them. That just happened several weeks in a row, you know.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
So anyway, I played with Josh and just I kind of bounced around here and there. I there was one guy I really did want to play for, a guy named Craig Morgan. Mm-hmm. And he was putting out some country music. And so I went and played piano, mainly piano for Craig. And but he had some singles out, Redneck Yacht Club, mm-hmm. Some others that had prominent banjo and mandolin. So that was fun. I'd play piano with a banjo around my neck and just kind of jump back and forth.
I used to I used to live out there by him.
Whenever
when I was out in Dixon, I lived. In fact, he had his bus parked down there, and we went when I was still with Rhonda. We went and did a USO thing. It was us, and Craig, and Mark Wills, and some other folks were there. It was a great time, man. It was awesome. But Henry Cho, I think too, was one of them that went with us. But anyway, I happened to ask him one time. I was like, you know anything about a bus that's been sitting out there on 70 right across from the high school? He said, what are you doing out there? I said, I pass it every day, dude. I live right down, you know, just down the road here. He said, where at? And I told him, I said, right behind the Moose Lodge. And he said, I know exactly where it is. You know. But yeah, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Great dude, man. He's super nice guy.
Yeah, he was, man. Yeah, he was. That was a good gig.
Now, was Mike Rogers there music. When you were there?
Yeah. Yeah, he was drummer and band leader. And, you know, that was my first real country gig, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like playing stride bass piano, you know, just like playing some gospel-y type stuff here and there. And I learned a lot musically in that gig because – like I said, the gigs before, I played for Lila McCann. I played for Josh Grayson and a few others. It was more pop stuff. And I came in with Craig, and we were playing some sure enough ballads. And but I'd come out of the bluegrass world. You know, that's where my brain was on banjo. And it was really interesting. And I don't know if your audience would care anything about this, but just talking musically – you know, Mike, because you mentioned Mike, he was a drummer, great drummer, and who's, you know, he's tenor singer with Skaggs now. Mm-hmm. And he would, he pulled me aside after the first couple shows. He said, man, you've got to lock in that backbeat with me, you know, and we're playing to a click, you know, we've got the ear monitors on you. You've got a metronome going mm-hmm. for every song. And, unlike bluegrass, you're playing to a metronome and I was like, well, no offense, Mike, but you know, I've played with a metronome for 20 years. I know how to play on a click. And he says, I'm not saying that you're not on the click. You're just not with me. And I was like, well, you need to be on the click. And he says, oh, I am. I'm just on a different part of the click. And that's where I really, really learned a lot about pocket and groove and what was happening. I was playing on the click, you know, on the backbeat, but I was playing right on the front edge of it just because I was used to the bluegrass drive, mm-hmm. you know, of always being on the nose end of that beat. And Mike's snare drum on beats 2 and 4 was hitting the last possible millisecond you could hit before you could say he was late. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how rock and that's how those country ballads work. And so I really learned a lot about delay and just having to lay back is the term that's used a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. And so Mike really, he taught me a lot about music and about listening. Right. And like I said, he's with Skaggs now. And yeah. So it's a cool little connection.
That is so interesting. That's really cool from a music standpoint for sure. That's playing with a click isn't easy regardless. trying to play on a certain part of the click.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can play on a click and still not be, you know, in time with your band.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, anyway,
we're bluegrassers. We're used to being on that front edge,
yeah.
you know,
that, on front, that front edge. Of the yeah. beat. It's like,
and they're not
exactly on that front. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I think when people talk about, you know, the drive of a banjo, a lot of times that's what they're talking about is you hear a banjo that sounds like through the song that it might be speeding up, but if you put it to a click, it's not speeding up. It's just they're driving out in front of that beat, and there's a push and there's a pull. Going back, of course, JD was the master at that, and yeah, so just is interesting to think about and interesting to compare kind of how the various genres sit in time.
That is, you know? That's very interesting. I think it was, I can't remember if it was J.D. Crow or Doyle Lawson said, bluegrass music is just meant to speed up and slow down. It's you got to let it breathe, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
and I know he means in a minor way where most people don't even hardly realize it, but that's so
right.
cool. So cool.
Yeah, Ben, I noticed you've got according to your website, you've got a thing coming up on the 24th of April, the Texas Farm Cabin Camp.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, man. These cabin camps are a lot of fun. I started them in 2019, and it's a, you know, it's an in-person event. I call them camps, even though you know, folks are staying in various places. They're not staying on the property, but most of them are multiple days, and people come in, gosh, from all over the world to attend these things. And I first started them just to try to connect with my students, because I've got a lot of students all over the world online, but besides email, I never really got to meet any of them. So I thought, well, I'll just offer a weekend where if people want to come and hang for a weekend, they can. That was in Nashville when I did the first one, and it filled up in like 3 minutes after I opened registration. I thought, man, I'm maybe on to something here. And so since then, I've just grown on various locations, more and more occurrences. And this one coming up, Josh, it's kind of my main one that I do. It's kind of the flagship camp now that happens here on the farm. Mm-hmm. It's all instruments come in, banjo, guitar, mandolin. It's a big time. We cook for the whole thing. It's incredible. Have about 35 to 40 students, is a full house on one of those. And then, gosh, this year I've already done one in St. Pete, Florida. I did one in Athens, Georgia a couple weeks ago. We'll have one in Montana this summer. Ooh. And I come back here in the fall for a big banjo only one. That's me and Kristen Scott Benson, Alan Mundy, and Bill Evans. And that's, that's a real big fun time. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Just incredible.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's become, you know, it's kind of a side thing when I started at 2019, but it's become one of my favorite parts of what we do, is these events. And mainly at the end of the day, it's because of the fellowship and the relationships that are built there. Mm-hmm. And, just tons of fun. Lots of kids come to them. So it's fun to get kiddos started and going. And then there's just a whole spectrum of folks that come from all different walks of life. I mean, I've got, it's just hilarious. You'll have somebody that's a roofer and you'll sit beside somebody that's a brain surgeon, sitting beside a rocket scientist, sitting beside a teacher. And all of those social boundaries are just completely erased for the weekend because everybody's there because they love bluegrass. They want to eat good food and have fun. And it's just, it's really, really a special time.
Well, that was kind of like whenever I was in rehab, I was sitting next to a doctor who was sitting next to a lawyer.
Yeah.
It's nothing like that, Josh.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. There's a lot of similarities.
Oh, man.
So is this at your house in Texas? Or?
Yeah, I have it here. Yeah, I have it here on my farm.
Yeah, that's
the
awesome.
The ones that happen in East Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
that's so cool.
Yeah, I host them at various people's homes that have opened them up across the country.
Yeah,
and
that's so awesome, really, man. Neat.
That is great.
Dude, thank you for doing all that you do. That is so cool.
Oh man, it's a gift. It's one of those things again. Just like, you know, my job's in Nashville, I feel like I deserved it. I'm just kind of trying to be a steward of what comes my way, and and it's pretty humbling, honestly, that I get to do those things.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to touch on, speaking of blessings and being a steward, you know, I have learned recently, which I didn't know, that you kind of help spread the word of the Lord around as well. So you're a preacher and you do some of that as well.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I don't know what I'm supposed to do there, guys, to be honest. Again, I'm just one step at a time. Mm-hmm. There was a time where I thought that back when I was first starting my website, I thought, man, maybe I'm called to the ministry. And I actually started at seminary, there at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. And they had a little extension campus in Nashville and took a few classes and then went on staff part time at my church there in Old Hickory, Tennessee, outside of Nashville, and preached a little bit. And you know, I thought, well, what do? I split off the whole music thing and just go full bore in the ministry? And I talked to just a couple of very wise guys that were looking at what was starting to formulate over on the website side of things. And they said, man, you realize what's going on here? I mean, you're able to speak to people that you would never get an opportunity to if you were just kind of doing traditional ministry. And what you ought to consider is maybe just pushing forward in this music path with a gospel focus, you know, just looking through the lens of ministry. And so that's what's been going on. You know, I've got students in over 50 countries, in countries that missionaries can't even go to, you know, and it's pretty amazing that I get to be in their living rooms, you know, and I get to teach it. I teach some gospel music on the side. And I try to be explicit about what those things mean, not in a preachy way, but just in a joyful, loving way, try to spread the truth. So that's been really neat. And the same thing for my camps. You know, I've got people of all stripes that come to the camps, and I've got one guy, I was actually texting with him today, and he's as atheist as you can get, you know, and he was wanting to come to one of my first camps, and and maybe he's listening to this. I don't think he'd mind me telling the story. And he got on my forum and he says, how religious is this camp going to be? You know, and I said, well, you know, I mean, you know, I'm a Christian. I said, so honestly, if you feel comfortable here on the site, if you don't feel like I'm preaching at you, beating you over the head here on the site, then I think you'll feel comfortable at my home too. He says, okay, I'll give it a try. And he came, and I think he's been like 8 or 9 camps now, you know.
Wow.
And we're great friends. And I'm not ashamed at my camps to to say what's on my heart. I'm always explicit about the gospel, but in a way that everybody's welcome. You know, it's not some kind of litmus test of it's a ministry. It's a, you know, a lot of folks have never been around that many of those type of folks before, you know? And so I've got people coming in from different walks of life that have just, you know, they come to me at the end of the weekend and they're like, I didn't know really what to expect, but man, we just really felt love this weekend. That's the biggest compliment you can tell me is that you just felt loved. Oh, yeah. And even though this isn't your normal crew that you would hang out with on a weekend. And so I do see what I do now as a ministry. And as you mentioned, Tim, I preach, I don't know, 10 or 15 times a year in various churches. People invite me or the church I'm at here in Kilgore. I'll preach once every couple months or so, just whenever I have that opportunity. And who knows? I mean, I've been doing a lot of ministry down in Mexico. I go down there two or three times a year on preaching, and I'm actually teaching a theology class down there. It's a long story, but there's a ministry I'm involved with that teaches theology classes to Mexican pastors that don't have access to any good resources. And so who knows? I mean, I may end up down there more full time one day.
Yeah.
And that would be all right with me. We'll just see where the road leads.
Absolutely. Wherever the good Lord calls you, that's where you got to go. I know you and I talked a little bit about that on our email conversation a month or so ago, but it's you got to go where you're called. So
that's right. But hey, before we go, I want to ask you for a long time and your sisters had the Purple Holes, the band going.
Yeah.
How is Katie Lou and Penny Lee? Are they doing good?
Yeah, man. They're great. They were in Guthrie this last weekend playing festival. They stay really busy. They're a three piece. They've got a great little bass player out of Minnesota that moved down and is touring with them full time. And man, they're just crisscrossing the country. Doing really, really well. And they usually teach at my camps. So usually Penny is teaching the mandolin and Katie's teaching banjo. I'll teach guitar. And I'll also have guest teachers come in too. And so I'll get to play with them on those weekends whenever they come in. But I don't tour with them anymore. They had moved home from Nashville when my dad was diagnosed with cancer. So that was around 2013. They moved back to help my mom take care of him. And so that was kind of the breakup of the band, so to speak, because I stayed in Nashville where I had a family. And then they just started getting really busy in Texas. And as you know, Josh, it's you can make a living just in Texas.
But they, absolutely.
They're going everywhere, man. They do a lot of international stuff. They've had a lot of fun over the years. I think they work as much as they want to work.
That's these great.
Days, which is cool to see them go. Ooh, yes, sir.
That's awesome.
Well, make sure you tell them hello for me.
I will. I sure will, man. I sure will. And I want to say to you, Josh, you've been a hero of mine for a long time, man. And and I really, of course, I appreciate your playing and your singing. I really, really appreciate your transparency and your honesty. And I just, I'm just thankful for who you are and how I've seen you just grow over the years.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
For sure. For sure. And just happy to see you doing good and love your talent, man.
Thanks,
and,
dude.
So anyway, I've been wanting to tell you that for many years.
Well, I appreciate you saying so, man. Thank you.
Well, we are so glad you joined us, man. It was so good to get to know you a little better. And just thank you for what you do for us here at the Hometown Bluegrass Show and supporting bluegrass music. And thank you for all you do for the music. And, man, we love your heart and love you. And just hope we can continue our friendship for a long time. So we appreciate it, buddy.
You bet, man. Y'all have me back anytime. I'd love to come back on and resume the conversation.
Well, that sounds great. Well, we'll drive people to banjobenclark.com every chance we get, and hope it makes you tens and tens of dollars, buddy.
That's right.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
All right,
thank you,
man.
Buddy.
See you, buddy. Thanks.
Right, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
What a great dude, man.
Yeah, man, that's so cool. Just I've been wanting to talk to him for a long time, you know, just basically knew him through his online presence and just such a super guy. So.
Yeah, that was weird. You were picking your nose while you said that. That was weird. Anyway.
Well, this is a podcast. Nobody would have known that. I had said that, but anyway.
Oh, well, you know me. You know me.
Yeah.
It was as obvious as a mandolin capo. So.
Oh, my Lord have mercy. Well, look at the time, folks. We have flat run out of time. And so we thank you for being a part of the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Hometown Bluegrass Show with Tim and Josh. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Facebook to stay connected to your bluegrass community. Got a question for us? A story to share, or an artist we should feature? Drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. You can find all the details at timbats.com. Thanks for listening to the Hometown Bluegrass Show, where the heart of bluegrass music lives. This has been a Bats Music and Media production.